Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Columbus.com.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look
sure
it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother.
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. A little bit of Shelly time coming up at 9:48 on the NHL postseason. Uncle Dom will drop by at 11:33 for Tuesdays with DeBerry. The Real Truth hits you at 10 o'clock. All sorts of crazy stuff on the NCAA side of thing. We could be heading for what we've talked about for the longest time, which is just Pam, and then maybe it'd all go away, or at least some of it would. We also have the last day of the transfer portal, so if anything is going to happen on that side of things, we'll get you updated on that as it goes along. I think you could make, I was thinking about this last night, and really this morning when I saw that Denver had eliminated Los Angeles, and a 39-year-old man had 39-11 or something like that in an elimination game. This is a 5-game win for the Nuggets, but it was every single game was competitive. Two of them were game winners at the buzzer. Every game went down to the fourth quarter. Every game mattered. It was 4-1. So you say, well, gosh, not competitive, but this was as competitive as it got all three. And I was thinking about LeBron, and I was thinking about my career in this business and the previous business in television, and really, three of the most surreal days of my time in media are tied directly to LeBron James. So in the summer of 2010, when he made the decision, so I had covered that postseason because at that time at Channel 10, we were going to LeBron. I've said this many times, like Columbus is a LeBron town. If he's in it, we'll watch, especially when he was in the East Coast, whether it was playing in Miami or certainly playing up in Cleveland. Like the whole town would be a Cavs town in those days. When you think about those runs that they had in the late 2000s before he came back in 14. So I had covered that postseason, when I was at Channel 10. And then I was, doing work at the now defunct Ohio News Network on the night that they were both owned by Dispatch Broadcast Group at the time. And the night that he made the decision, and I was on air live, for a half hour trying to make sense of what he did without any commercials. Now it was on the Ohio News Network, so my guess is 18 people saw it, but nevertheless, I did it and I was on for without a break for about a half hour. So, and the vitriol that came with that was real. And the idea of he made that decision. Then a couple of days later, like they took down the "We Are All Witness" sign on the side of the Sherwin-Williams. And it was just such a sad, morose time. It was like, my God, it's over. Like you had this roller coaster, the Akron kid made good, and he had made them relevant and made them one of the teams to watch. And there's no way that he could leave. And then he did. And he went to Miami and he became a villain. And then I was on air with AR in 14 when, and you just think about the impact that Twitter had, when you were trying to make sense of, okay, is this real? Who wrote it? Is there a blue check mark? And we were on air and it was Lee Jenkins who wrote it. He penned it for Sports Illustrated. Okay. That's 10 years ago, guys. I don't even know if Sports Illustrated exists anymore. I had a subscription to Sports Illustrated my entire life. I still may. It might show up every 3 months. I have no idea if they even print anything anymore. But Lee Jenkins wrote it for Sports Illustrated, and he was coming home to the Miami Heat. In between was the one of the most bizarre, surreal nights of my career when I went and covered his return the first time when Miami Heat came and played up in Cleveland. And they brought out Bernie Kosar and Drew Carey and all of these people. And when he stepped on the floor, there were a lot of people seriously concerned that there was going to be an act of violence. It was the most scared I've ever been, like, in an arena. Like, the vitriol was so much and it was so tense, that there was legitimate concern that somebody would do something stupid. And somebody did run on the court, in that game. There's security everywhere. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. And you think about this I was thinking about all of this morning, my Cleveland born wife in 16 when they won the championship and we were up there and there were fireworks lighting off in the little town we were in. There were fireworks. She's from Brecksville. And so there were fireworks displays everywhere. People screaming when they won the championship in 16. And you think about a guy who's now approaching 40, he's played 20 years in the league and he's done in the first round. There's no real path for them going forward in terms of being a championship contender. He's got the Athletic, as Reese pointed out in the update, saying he wants to play two more years. Well, yeah, absolutely. This isn't Kobe playing out the string. This isn't Michael playing out the string with the Washington Wizards. Like, he's still one of the best players on the planet. Against the team that's going to win the NBA finals, he was great in every one of the games. Just wasn't good enough. His team's not good enough. And as I was thinking about all of that this morning, you just think, God, this is the end of an era or the beginning of an end of an era, because you are now into a second round of an NBA playoffs that will not include LeBron James, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant. They're all done. They're out. It hit home that this is who's next is now. And the league is going to be an interesting spot because everything has been on, especially LeBron and Steph, the last decade. But for 20 years, it's been on LeBron. He's been the face of the league for 20 years, guys.
Yeah, you're right. It's the end of an NBA era, but also the LeBron James era just keeps pushing me into something. I just turned 31 last week that I just keep, you know, busting my head up against right now, that my childhood is over. Every time we talk about something like this, yeah, there's somebody new. You know, Tom Brady retired, and that was like, man, that's the last of those quarterbacks that were all around when I really started to get into football. Joey Votto is now a Blue Jay. Don't like seeing that. And now LeBron James, he's not done. He is not saying he's done, but obviously it's coming to an end at a certain point. Yeah. And once he's gone, because I was 10 years old when he first got into the league. And then I moved to Ohio shortly after that. And I still remember this. There's a local sports bar place that had a picture of LeBron and it was like his first NBA game and he's going for a dunk. Remember, that game was at the Kings. And I always remember that picture. So I grew up with that. Then when I'm in high school, he goes to the Heat. That happens in the middle of the summer while I'm in high school, and they play that out. And then in college, he gets back to the Cavs, and right at the end of my senior year, he wins the championship for Cleveland. And now here in my adult life, he's been mostly with the Lakers, my post-college life. And eventually, it's all just going to be gone. And I think that every time one of these comes up, I keep saying, I think that's the last one. But LeBron probably actually truly is the last one of like somebody who is truly from my childhood. And so to lose that and for that to be gone will, like you said, not only be the end of an era for the NBA, but a complete end of an era for me. And it's all downhill from here, isn't it?
It's funny. You look at the parallels for LeBron and Brady, because you had Brady just a month ago on a podcast saying, hey, I'll answer the phone if called upon. You had LeBron last night mum about his future. He does have a year left on his Lakers contract, but it's a player option. So free agency starts on June 30th, and LeBron can decide what he wants to do next season. He wants to play two more. There was another report from Sham Sharania that the Lakers would be open to taking Bronny if that was the difference between LeBron coming back and LeBron trying a different destination. As ridiculous as that sounds, because, you know, and I don't know how close Brady is with his kids in relation to, does he want them to play football, but does like LeBron become AAU dad if everything to work out with the Lakers, where you had the basketball people for the Lakers, which won't include Darvin Ham. He's gone. That's dead man walking last night. But if they're just like, well, Bronny's good, but you know, maybe he comes off the bench or he spends a year in the G League. And Bron's like, no, he's playing.
The Lakers
he's playing in the league
exactly
this year.
Picks to spare.
Well, they have a late round pick in the second. So,
well, that's it. So if you're them, what choice do you have?
None. If it's that, if that's
if he
the difference,
forces that hand,
you play it.
You don't have, because they have no, there's, that this is the most storied, influential, important franchise in the league, and they don't have any sort of plan for what follows this.
They never have. Their plan was to acquire LeBron.
Well,
run
they
it.
Did. I mean, years ago, they've had a couple of instances where they have like a little bit of future planning. Not now. There is no future planning. They don't have a young star. They are aging quickly, fastly. You know, I guess from a basketball perspective, the trade-off I would have if I were Jeannie Buss would be, okay, fine, we'll draft Bronny if that's that important to you. In exchange, we need you to play for the vet minimum so that we can go get some people to play with you. Because we can't pay you $50 million a year and Anthony Davis $50 million a year and make this work financially. So, like, we need to be able to sign some other people to bring them in here. And so maybe that's something that they try to do. LeBron has never done that. I guess he did it once with Miami where they all kind of took less to play together, but rarely it. I don't know. I know it's on the poll question today about where he could end up. I've been wrong on him so many times. I remember the night that he left for the decision just thinking, like, there is no way that he will leave his hometown team like this publicly at a Boys and Girls Club. Like, it just didn't make sense that you would do it that way. And I was pretty steadfast. Like, look, this doesn't look good. The roster was a mess at that time, an absolute mess. And you said it still just didn't feel right that he would do it that publicly. And then he did. And then he came back after all of it, after the letter from Dan Gilbert, after all of it, he came back and then he delivered on all of it. And you think about, like, his free agency has been the biggest story in the NBA for 15 years. Really? I mean, people have been clearing the term, they're clearing cap space, was developed and made public knowledge and normal by him because of him.
Yeah, and he was a big part of that because he has loved it. We talked about how he could be a free agent right now if he decides not to take that player option, because that's most of his contract since he came back to Cleveland has been 1 year with a second year that's a player option, and so that he's always back at the table, or the threat of him just saying, hey, I'm walking, I'm a free agent, was always there as well.
Yes, the Laker deal he signed when he went there as a free agent was the first time that he signed a 4 year deal.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's always held people accountable. So a 5-game is the way that it goes down. I was just curious the game log on it, because I think it's absolutely nuts what a nearly 40-year-old did in this post. All right, here it is. I got it. So this goes back to and every one of these games were competitive. So in game one, he goes 27-8-6. In game two, he goes 26-12-8. In game three, he goes 26-9-6. In game four, he goes 34-5. In game five last night, he went 30-11-9. The worst shooting he did was 48%. Most of the time, he was over 60% from the field. Hit his free. I mean, just come on, just stupefying.
And that tells you what the Lakers are. Like, that's not enough from LeBron. So then the Lakers.
But they were right there. Is also the other part of it. Every game was competitive.
And they were playing the defending champs.
And they're playing the best team, I think, in the league. So they're right there, truly. They won 47 games. Like, it's a hell of a thing. And it'll be something that dominates this summer the way all of it goes. We'll hear from LeBron, who has been kind of the center of the basketball universe for 2 decades now. And at this age, still playing at this level is absolutely stupefying. The Cavs are in action tonight. Boy, tepid would be the response to people giving a damn about that, which probably sets its own set of circumstances that you want to get into a little bit. The NCAA on the cusp of potentially settling something that could open an incredible can of worms or real progress. We'll get to all of it coming up. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
And hey there, friends. It's your Uncle Bo here. Proud to tell you about my friends at the Diamond Cellar. And I've been doing business with them, purchasing 15 plus years. Been doing my shopping there. It's the best. And springtime is the giving season. Everything from weddings to anniversaries, new babies to graduations, everything in between. I'm here to tell you firsthand, there's no better place to find the perfect gift for any occasion than Diamond Cellar. True Jeweler. They have the finest selection of luxury jewelry from world-class designers, or they can create something one-of-a-kind just for you. Diamond Cellar. Check them out. Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, DiamondCellar.com for more on that. Let's hear from LeBron James. And Chops had brought up something in the break that I want to get to as well. Here he is. He was at, I love this, right after you lose in a game five when they say, now, are you going to be a Laker? And here he is on his future.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
I'm not going to answer that. That's so
boy. Him. That's a good question, though.
It's just so him. He as much as we marvel at all of it, he loves this game more than anybody else. Here he is on. He was asked, "How good are the Lakers?" Here's what he has to say.
You know, our season has been derailed all season with just like injuries and guys in and out. And I talked about it all year. He was around us all year. I said, I don't. It's hard to say who we are, what we can be. Because we have yet to be whole. I think we was only probably whole maybe one or two times this year. And I know one of them was during the in-season tournament. We got whole and we showed what we was capable of doing. But we was just hit with injuries after injuries after injuries. And it was just hard to, you know, it's hard to come back from that.
Some of it is they don't have any margin because the way that their team is built around the two guys. And with every year that passes and LeBron gets older and older, there will eventually be some sort of fall off of that. Anthony Davis was really good in the postseason as well. So they have two of them. Chops, you brought up something in the break, though. Go ahead.
So we just had the discussion about LeBron. Oh, is this the end of an era? How much longer can he play? And it makes sense. The Lakers just got eliminated. There he was being asked it right after the game last night. But my question to you guys was, how many times do you think a show like First Take has done that segment this season alone?
Well,
every time the Lakers have a bad loss, every time LeBron doesn't hit a scoring average.
I think you could make the argument that shows such as that were built in part by LeBron James.
The economy he created in terms of television
is
something that will never be replicated.
Our economy's based on LeBron James.
Literally ESPN and Skip Bayless and also Cleveland.
Yeah, no, it was. He was a one-man news tornado for 15 years, and maybe even longer, because leading up to, he did the one extension in Cleveland, and then the lead up to his free agency in the summer of 2010, all of the Heat stuff that happened there, 14 coming back, and then, yeah, I mean, I would argue that he's probably been the most talked about athlete full stop ever. Well, you have to remember too, on Michael or Ali or any of the others who are these transcendent figures, even Tiger, these all-time great greats, there wasn't a 24-hour news cycle like there is now. There wasn't social media the way that there is now. Like, he has been, his career has also been mirrored by this incredible boom of talking about sports.
You know what else?
Every platform.
LeBron also got this that really, I think, helped elevate it, because by the end, we were a little bit sick and tired of the Golden State Warriors, but him having a truly worthy rival adversary that was actually better than him, got them more times than they got them in that second stint in Cleveland, I think made a big difference about, like, the coverage and bringing all that up for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. He was, well, how many Eastern Conference Finals was it in a row?
Oh man,
11 or something? Like, I think it was crazy.
8-4-4 4 in Miami, well, 4 in Cleveland.
Oh, was it those? Because he missed out on it the year before. Did he miss out on his last year in Cleveland?
Yeah, that was the lost Raptors over the Warriors. That would have been his last year in Cleveland, I think. No, was that his first year in LA?
No. I'm talking about the end of the first stint in Cleveland. Yeah, that ended short of the
finals. He got swept by the Spurs, next year was his last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the way that all. Yeah, he only made to one finals with them, and then he made 8 straight.
You talk about how good the Lakers really were against the Nuggets in their series. Like, Nikola Jokic, two of the 5 games he had a double double. He averaged a triple double in 2 of the games. Almost in 4 of those 5 games, he was like 1 assist away. And so I'm talking to LeBron right now. The West is unwinnable as long as Jokic is there, as long as Jamal Murray, who goes into the night questionable and then decides to hit a gravity-defying jumper with 4 seconds left. Come east.
Another game winner for Jamal Murray. It's 2 of them in this series. I got one more
stat. You want him home, Reese.
I got one more stat for you.
Look, Donovan Mitchell, let him go and do whatever he wants. If you're the Cavs, maybe you have that first round pick that you could use on Bronny.
Bring LeBron back.
Whatever.
Well, he would. There's only two places. It'll either one or the other. It'll be L.A. or it'll be Cleveland. My hunch is it'll be L.A. for the reasons I've said many times, is I think he wants to live. Well, I know he wants to live the rest of his life there. And I don't think you want to leave the Lakers in a lurch. I just don't think I think they're the one of the few things that are actually bigger than him. And to prove that point, do you know how much it costs to get into the Cavs game tonight up in Cleveland against the Magic? 8 o'clock tip.
$60.
$27.
Okay, I knew you were going to go low, but I didn't know how low to go for an NBA playoff game.
$27.
The brink of apathy.
You said
it was a hotter ticket at the beginning of this season. Then
there's no question. In the regular season, you couldn't get into that place for $27 a ticket, and you can get in there for $27 tonight if you want. So now juxtapose that, Reese. You sang the song where they said, or one of you guys sang the song where like LeBron, our economy is LeBron James. That whole thing. You could not get into the place when he was there in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have season tickets, there were people who bought season tickets just for the postseason. You just buy them for that because you could not get in the building if he in that postseason run the second time around, and probably the first time around as well. I just don't have as much firsthand knowledge about that. But yeah, apathy. I mean, this is a good Cavs team. They got Donovan Mitchell, they got Garland and Mobley, and they got talent. They all of this stuff. Nobody cares.
And they're not down 3-1. They're down. It's 2-2.
It's 2-2.
It's just been trade the home game so far. So you'd think there'd still be that hope that, okay, well, they'll right the ship and they'll be better at home again. But yeah, I think people have just checked out on it because what I think those last two games in Orlando taught us was, no, that hope that you had, maybe they could make a run. This is not a team that's going to do anything important in the East, even if they win this round.
30.5 for two games is the average margin of loss. Like that's the scoring margin between Game 4 and 5, and that's where you get the apathy for Cavs fans, who at this point, because if you can't beat the Orlando Magic, if you can't put away the Magic in 5 games, like what are you going to do in the next series?
Well, it won't go well. Yeah, they're on the brink of it, for sure. And that's the thing that, when you were so spoiled with LeBron for all of those years, is you had a puncher's chance always. Because of him.
Yeah. Because this is LeBron's first round exit, too.
Yeah, yeah. And is it really? I guess so. And it's the most competitive 4-1 you've ever seen. I mean, for every game, you're right. Murray hit two game winners. He won game one with a game winner and he wins game five. So, it was as competitive as it gets. And it seals now, as I mentioned in the first segment, no Steph, no LeBron, no KD, in the postseason. It's going to be a very interesting though, I think, offseason in the NBA is, who knows what happens as people try to reconfigure. The West will move on with a bunch of fresh faces and a bunch of new teams. We'll see if it resonates with anybody in terms of the ratings. We know this is resonating. The NCAA potentially finally understanding where they're at as an entity. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Us.
What's up, man?
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday. This from friend of the program, Dan Murphy, Pete Thamel as well on ESPN. The NCAA heading towards the settlement of a $4 billion case. So to catch you up, and there's so many of these going on, so like sometimes I go cross-eyed trying to make sense of what's what and what's in what's court. Here's what we know. Anytime the NCAA is in court, it gets spanked. So that's just the way that it goes. So this latest reporting, and we'll just read from it here. The NCAA and its power conferences are defendants in an antitrust class action lawsuit. It's the House versus NCAA, which argues that the association is breaking federal law by placing any restrictions on how athletes make money from selling the right to their name, image, or likeness. The case is scheduled to go to court in January of 2025. If the the plaintiffs win at trial, the NCAA and its schools could be liable to pay more than $4 billion in damages, which has motivated many leaders across the industry to seek a settlement on this. Sources indicated that a turning point in the discussion, which has been ongoing, came last week in Dallas, where the Power Conference commissioners, their general counsels, NCAA President Charlie Baker, NCAA lawyers and plaintiffs' attorneys met. They chose the Dallas area because there are there for the college football playoff, of course, Marriott points. While sources stress that no deal is imminent, details about what a multi-billion dollar settlement could look like are expected to be shared with campuses in the near future. There are myriad variables to get to the finish line, still some obstacles and objections at the campus level, but sources, no kidding, sources indicate that progress has ramped up in recent weeks. Sources to these guys indicated that the top-end revenue share model per school once determined would be in the neighborhood of $20 million annually, although it's yet to be settled. Whatever that number is set by the settlement, individual schools will be able to opt in and share revenue up to that number with their school student athletes at their discretion. They could choose to share less, but not more. Good luck with that. Here's the, there's a, the one can of worms to this, all of this is going to be, will there be lawsuits for past damages?
Well, that's what the lawsuit is about.
Correct. But yeah. I mean,
but what happens if they settle it? What is that right. settle? Because that's where the $4 billion comes from. It's a $1 billion estimated loss of value for these guys that are doing the lawsuit. And then it gets tripled on top of that is like a general rule of thumb with these kind of cases, which would then be an additional $3 billion up to $4 billion. But if you settle that out and figure out how you're going to pay, the new players and the current players, how does that make whole the guys? Maybe they're just fighting for the players to get a better situation than they did. I'm sure there's plenty of people on this that are. But will all of them want to agree to a settlement that doesn't pay them out anything?
You talk to 90%. I mean, sure, there's guys like Threes, and he would say, look, I'm good. Right. It worked for me. I'm good. But 90% of the people who played, who were taken advantage of by name, image, and likeness, by institutions.
Sometimes still say, see where's my bag there. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's my bag? Where's what I made? Where's my cash on it? Not everybody got an NFL contract, multiple NFL contracts. Not anybody got that type of life. And so they say, where's mine? Where does it end with this? Where does this thing, where do you begin to make this right on past generations? It's a damn mess. And you say to yourself, well, how do you get to this point? And the reality is the sport, it got too popular. The people at the top got too greedy. The television side of it became such a monster that you just kept taking the money and the money got bigger and bigger and bigger. The idea that coaches make $11 million, all of this stuff that's happened, this is all so far outgrown what the model was built on. It's over, the amount of money has just been overwhelming. And so they've tried everything they can to fight this off. And you go back to when Ross Bjork was hired and Ted Carter said this too, the new president, like, look, we can't keep losing. We can't keep fighting this stuff in court. You can't. You're going to be in court forever. You're just going to take loss after loss after loss. You're not going to get anything done. I do think like this notion of like the $20 million annually. Well, who can, so football that covers, players get that?
Yeah, like, that covers each what is school that gonna, for every sport. How do they,
how are you going to decide what sports? I mean, I've long said, I mean, a decade plus, that to me, the only real path would be some sort of a privatization of the football program. And then you could probably do it, everything else kind of under that umbrella, the 20 million umbrella. All the other sports could probably be factored in there, whether it's, you know, men's, women's basketball. And then you still have the NIL stuff where kids can make money on their name, image, and likeness all they want. But to get control over football, I think you probably need to privatize it. You probably need to unionize it and you need to treat it like an NFL model. And the collegiate aspect of it, it's going to be hard to keep that a part of it other than the jerseys.
Yeah. And obviously it's something that they don't want to do because one thing that is not present in this article, when they're talking about what could be the settlement, the word employee, they keep using revenue share, but they also kind of keep linking it to NIL. Employee, revenue share, and NIL do have a spot in the middle of their Venn diagram where they can be in the same pot and meaning the same thing, but they also do mean separate things. And the NCAA has always been so apprehensive to ever putting that employment tag on it. So now this is being situated too as like a, oh, well, it'd be almost a school deal to pay for their name, image, and likeness. And one, they're just overcomplicating the things. And two, it just, just keeps spitting in the face of the idea that you were talking about that I am with too, that like it just makes the most sense to make them employees. All of this, while I don't know if you heard about this, Trent Dilfer is the coach down at UAB, Alabama, Birmingham.
Yeah.
Their entire team opted into a union this week. It's called...
No, I missed that.
Yeah, it's called athletes.org. Currently, they have no plans to bargain with the school, but this is not individual... Some other individual student-athletes have already joined this. That. But this was an entire team in solidarity deciding to join this union with the support of their coach, Trent Dilfer, because he obviously somebody who has experience being along with the players' union when he was in the NFL, and I think he sees that as the next right move for these guys.
It was Charlie Baker, I know, who said it, and I want to say Ross Bjork's echoed the sentiments of we just can't keep going back to court. Like, it was both of them. It was for Baker, it was interesting, the first time the NCAA boss had said something like that. And so
correct.
This felt like where we're at today felt like it had been in the works for a while, and it's actually kind of a relief. It's refreshing, I guess I should say, not a relief, but refreshing to know that they understand where this is going. It's been kicking and screaming for the last couple of months, but it was just better than not moving at all. And it's put a lot of people into a lot of difficult spots. And to your earlier point, Chops, I wonder, because Reggie Bush is not stepping back from his defamation lawsuit against the NCAA. Like, what does this open up? Because there have been teams that have really been impacted by breaking some of the rules that were in place by the NCAA for name, image, likeness, for payouts, for impermissible benefits. Like, do they start to go, okay, well, we want what we did recognized again, and we'll sue to get it?
Here's the simplest, to me, most logical, simplest path forward on this, from the football perspective, and probably men's basketball, and maybe even women's basketball as well, because women's basketball with not quite to the extent of the men's tournament, but the women's, they just redid their numbers, so probably just be men's basketball. And there's all of this in the reporting that the SEC and the Big Ten are taking the lead on this. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to need to branch off entirely. They just are. And they're going to have to do this their own way. And I don't know how big both of them are going to get. But there's going to be a separate division of football and maybe men's and women's basketball at the highest level that is controlled, played by the schools that represent those two conferences. Because there is, you think about Charlie Baker's job, guys. He's president of the NCAA. He's representing everybody.
Similar to the JC Treader conversation we had yesterday with the NFLPA.
You can't possibly represent the revenue giants in the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten and also have the best interests. Like, we talk about like Group of Five. I'm talking about Big Sky Conference kids or kids at Division II, Division III.
Especially in non-revenue sports.
How does that make any sense? There's no way that those schools could afford to pay athletes anything. And they actually have an intercollegiate model, a true student athlete model, where the scholarship is the value. Right? Think about all of those little schools that we have in the state, those NCAA Division II, Division III.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21. Or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All those liberal arts schools that are like $90,000 a year, the Kenyans, the Denisons, those places, like what that they still are governed by the NCAA and the rules work for them. Yeah. We talk about the Group of Five and all that, but like, my God, think about that level.
And that is not the reverse excuse of, well, they do it and they're okay with it. No, it's a different ball game up here in the Big Ten and the SEC in football and men's basketball, for that matter.
I see. To me, that's the straightest path, is that those two conferences. Gordon Gee talked about this over a decade ago. A lot of people have. It's going to be super conferences and they're going to be separate.
The CFP already said they don't care about the NCAA either. So, like, you already got that part figured out. Your postseason's already taken care of.
Yeah, and if you want to do, you're right, they already have the CFP. If you want to do the rest of those sports, the non-revenue sports can be governed by the NCAA, and they can just have NIL, fine. But the issue for athletic directors will be, how do I pay for all of this if football has to pay for itself? That will be the tricky part of that. More on this coming up, because there's a lot of layers to it. A little bit of Shelly time coming up on the NHL postseason. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
The Fan.
Drop the gloves. It's Shelly time.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, that's right. A little bit of Shelly time on a Tuesday. Jode, where do we find you today? Are you here in town? Are you home? Where are you, on the road?
I'm in Carolina in an elevator. Can you hear me?
I can. God, I love boots on the ground. Love the boots on the ground stuff. This has been a fun first round in the NHL. I've been locked into the Leafs and Bruins series probably the most, because there's so much drama around it. Bissonnette just crushing Marner, which is amazing to see. And we had Cooper last night with making headlines, with Tampa Bay as they were taken out by Florida, a couple of goals called off. What has been your biggest headline so far in the first round for the NHL? And then perhaps what's been the biggest surprise on the ice that you've seen?
Wow, that is a great question. I wasn't surprised at the Rangers sweeping Washington the other night, mm-hmm. but I was surprised at how they played. How they finished that off. I know Washington was a weaker team. I think the biggest surprise is the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, I know Dallas tied things up last night on the road in Vegas, made that series 2-2, but the way the Golden Knights have taken storm in this playoffs, they come in as that last seed in the West. And why would I be surprised, right? Because they're the team that won the Stanley Cup last year. That is one of my big surprises. And then the Leafs, like, it's the old narrative. And I was just in Toronto covering that game, Bo, and the fans and the angst, and it's like, come on, you're only down 3-1. You're in the series. I know Matthews isn't playing tonight, but they've got a good team. And to me, they're a little bit more playoff ready. The Boston Bruins are they're good. So to answer your question on the fly, I'm going to say I'm surprised at all the elite teams right now in these first round matchups and how things are going, because, Boston looks like they could win the Cup. Dallas and Vegas look like they could win the Cup. Colorado's got things going. Winnipeg is disappointed a little bit in how they're playing. There seems to be a little bit of, a little bit of dissension there. So just the storylines and how things have gone in this first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs has been incredible.
It has been. It's interesting. I took note of all the teams that you mentioned there in terms of the way that they're playing. Boston, Colorado, Vegas. They're all champs. They know how to do this. Right? It's in the blood. It's in the culture.
Yeah, but it's in the confidence. Elite players, good defensemen, enough snarl to win battles, well-coached, good goaltending. It's not one thing. You look at Toronto, you think, okay, Austin Matthews, 69 goals. They should. It's not how it works in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No.
It's not one star. It's not LeBron. It's like you got to have the team game. Four rounds, seven game series, best of four. It's a grind. That's what I love about it.
Marchand, I said I've been watching Leafs Bruins the most, and I just love the storylines of all of it and the kind of the drama surrounding it. And you watch Marchand and what he does on a night in, night out basis. There's a play, the first game up in Toronto, it's game three, where he gives kind of a poke to the back of the leg of Bertuzzi, and then he responds, and then Marchand walks, and then Marchand ends up getting. I mean, it's just he does all of these little things. He's got if he's on your team as your favorite player ever. If you have to play him, you hate him more than anything in the world.
Yeah, and that's his biggest. I mean, that's his biggest compliment. When he's in Toronto the other night, Saturday night, Bruins Maple Leafs, he gets the puck and they boo him. That's what he wants. I mean, he's noticed, and I spent some time chatting with him. He's a good Nova Scotia boy where I grew up, and we got to talk, and I was impressed with him now as a captain. Like, he's the guy that came in with Chara. It got handed off to Bergeron. Now it's handed off to Brad Marchand. And, he was praising his teammates, loves the way they're playing. They understand what they are. They have a game plan against the Maple Leafs. But he is elevated in the playoffs. He's edgy. He wins every battle. He finishes. He's been a really good leader there. I think one of the best in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, I would certainly echo that, absolutely. What did you make of Cooper's comments last night as Bob gets the win, the Florida moves on to the second round, they win it 4-1, but he was pretty adamant there were a couple of instances where he did not like the goals being pulled off.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think, you know, he challenged a goal interference call. Whereas I think the first one gets called back, I think that sets the precedent for that play. And it's funny. I'm in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the game with four referees who are reffing tonight. So I got a really good perspective on that. And they were like, well, you know, they were saying one thing. I was saying another. I said, you know, maybe that second one, that they could easily call it off. And they were talking about the precedent set by the refs. And I just thought he challenged too quick, and it was an emotional decision by him. And I thought, no, that should not be the narrative at the end of the game, because it's something in game. Was he using it in game to put the me versus us against the world mentality into his team? Maybe, but I don't want to hear about a post game. You know what I mean? It's not the reason why he lost the game. They had opportunities. They killed some of those. They killed off, I think, both of those power plays that the Golds came. They challenged one and got an extra penalty. They killed that one off. But I don't think that's the narrative. That's not the narrative. They weren't good enough early in the series. They have enough high-end talent that only showed up for that last game in game four. I just thought they had more to give with Vasilevskiy being as good as he was. The guys at the top end didn't finish. And they're so good. They're so good. And then Bobrovsky's there. Like, you know, that's a tall task to beat that team. They are good at a lot of things. I think they just got outmatched.
For our audience who maybe isn't following it as closely, the Marner, Nylander, Matthews. Matthews sick now, so he's out. He's kind of had this lingering thing. They're arguing on the bench. You said you were in Toronto. Just for audience who can't properly understand what that city is like when this is going on, how would you explain it?
They're all walking on eggshells. I mean, they're all, before the game at home, Saturday night, Bruins, Maple Leafs, they're all, it's, everybody there is a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and they are so jacked up about their team, and they're just waiting for the sky to fall, and they want to be proven wrong. Last year, the narrative was win the first round. They haven't done it since, I don't know how long it was, 15 years or something. They finally win the first round. They celebrated like they won the Stanley Cup. And I thought they learned something from that. There was something there to be like, hey, that's not the goal. Now the narrative is guys are making all this money and they're underachieving, which Bobrovsky heard all last season. Then became the top, one of the top players in the Stanley Cup playoffs and took his team to the conference finals. It's just they've dealt with so much underachieving and failure that they're waiting for it to happen. And, you know, they're not playing like a team. They're still waiting for the top guys to take them over the edge, and that is a scary formula for playoffs. Now, tonight with Matthews out, as weird to say, that might help them a little bit because other guys got to elevate. And sometimes when you're in a locker room with a superstar, you wait for him to carry it, the guy who scores almost 70 goals this year. But let's see if they play more of a team game. But to describe what it's like the Yankees that have struggled for decades, if they did. And then, you know, the fans are just on them all the time. And it's almost like they expect for the negative narrative to come out at the end.
Kind of like the Red Sox before they won it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly what it's like.
The Red Sox before they won it. Like it was just the curse of everything and all of it. Great talking to you, buddy. Appreciate you so much. Look forward. You got a fun one tonight as the Canes look to close out that series 4-1. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Yeah. My pleasure. Have a great day. Thanks, Bo.
All right. The great Jody Shelley with a little bit of Shelley time on a Tuesday. The Real Truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Seeing this from Pete Thamel here in the last couple of minutes about the reporting around the NCAA and the settlement that could be coming. I can't believe I got this wrong. He said it, the reporting is it took place at the Dallas Airport Hyatt, not Marriott Points. What are we doing?
Guess they couldn't.
Because I'm pretty sure Hyatt's Hilton now, right? Or is Hyatt on its own?
You know what happened was they met for their CFP meetings, and then they were like, oh, can we actually just run it back and get the conference table again? And the Marriott had to tell them in Dallas, sorry, a different group of college executives are coming in, and they have a meeting in there today, so they had to switch over to the Hyatt.
Hyatt's got to be owned by somebody. I don't think they're on their own. I think I could be wrong. Here's Thamel's tweet from 10 minutes ago. He reports it's a turning point in the settlement talks. They happened at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Hyatt. More than 20 people attended, including Power Conference commissioners, Charlie Baker, NCAA lawyers, plaintiffs, attorneys. This is what a scene, man. What a scene. This is all in.
They are Hyatt Hotels and Resorts is one of the businesses managed by the Pritzker family.
So, no different Hilton or Marriott?
Marriott.
Yeah.
And they're not Hilton either?
Nope.
They are an American family engaged in entrepreneurship and philanthropy and one of the wealthiest families in the United States.
Hyatt Points, I've not heard of. Marriott and Hilton, you got those for days. It was always Marriott. That's the way they roll. All right, let's hit the real truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondSeller.com.
First one up today. Ryan Day will not lose a significant piece in the transfer portal. Is that the real truth?
I would say it's the real truth now. I'm not sure it was the real truth last night or this morning, but it feels like the real truth now that they have. You listened to Austin on Monday and just talking to some people last night, as I kind of poked around, was curious if there was anything happening. I think they were on the precipice of potentially losing a significant piece in the transfer portal, or maybe even a couple of significant pieces in the transfer portal. But it looks like there was a rally and all will be quiet on the Western Front. But last night, this morning, last night was pretty tense, from what I understand.
Yeah, and I mean, you could make an argument. Had they not picked up Quinshon Judkins, I would say Dallin Hayden would be a significant loss in the transfer portal. But as far as the three guys who have entered in this, the two safe.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code TheFan150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He's in Dallin Hayden. Now that has not reached that level. And there just seems to be a tremendous amount of successful lobbying by us, whatever group of players is the nucleus of keeping all these guys that could have gone to the draft together, guys that could see greener pastures elsewhere together. There has to be some sort of leadership group in there that is doing a very good job of saying, no, we're building something special this year. Look at the guys who have come in. Look at how talented the roster is, how much the defense has improved over these years. This is a title year for Ohio State. I just imagine that's got to be what they're saying, because the draft stuff was not perplexing, but surprising enough. And then this, I would say, is even more of a surprise that this so far has been the attrition into this spring transfer portal window that I thought was going to be a few more guys than what we've seen so far, namely quarterback, especially, who we still have not seen go anywhere. Austin mentioned it yesterday, and I've seen that one, that, you know, there are teams, that former Big Ten West teams, that really want Lincoln Kinholz to enter the portal.
Sure.
But he hasn't.
And there's still some time today, but this is the real truth. And even if they do lose a quarterback, as long as I think it's, I'll say it, as long as it's not Julian Sain, I think any of the other four, I don't know if they would be significant. They'd be important, but they got five.
It would really derail if somehow Howard and Brown both left.
That would be significant, yeah. But both of them will not. I think we're pretty safe in saying that, and probably neither of them.
If you were lie detector them, I think if you said, and this is just, they love all of them. They recruited all of them. But like, if you were to say, you can go into next season, you can have Will Howard and Julian Sain and a transfer guy to come in and be the third, you'd probably go, yeah, we're in.
Yeah, I think they would take that deal, which is a hell of a trade-off to start with five and then not even have to make that deal. Apparently, they're going to have all five this year. Good luck getting to that scholarship limit. The two Norths, AFC and NFC, are the best divisions in football. Is that the real truth?
I think it is now. I think you stumble into this when you start to think about it. So this used to be like a West conversation, right? It was the NFC West and AFC West. But take a look at the AFC West teams and what's happened over the last couple of years. The Chargers are in the middle of a kind of a rebuild on the fly around Herbert as they were in cap purgatory. The Raiders are going to just roll the dice with Minshew. That's how they're going to go. And then you think about what's happened in Denver with Sean Payton as they're restarting with Bo Nix. Same thing in the NFC West where that's certainly more competitive with San Francisco at the top. So those would be kind of the two geographically that you would kind of probably align. But I don't think there's any doubting that the AFC North is the strongest top to bottom. The biggest contender in the AFC would be the East. But the Patriots are so bad. Like, there's not one bad team in the AFC North. And the NFC North, I mean, all four of those teams fancy themselves, I'm sure, playoff teams. Minnesota would be the worst just because probably JJ, but like their skill position talent's really good. They might have the best receiving core in the league. The Lions think they can win the Super Bowl. The Packers think they can win the Super Bowl. I think it probably is. I think they probably are. Now, the AFC East is the one to argue, but their bottom is really bad.
Yeah.
And the others aren't. They don't have bottoms. The AFC North and NFC North don't have bottoms.
And it's not to say that the NFC and AFC North, whichever is the best team, whichever one wins the division, is by far the best team in their conference in the National Football League. But it's the fact that all four of them in both those divisions are so good because there are top-end teams that I would definitely, I mean, San Francisco would be one of them that I think I would pick over the top of both of these leagues. But it's the average amongst all four of them that really elevates to them that, because I think that Chicago just has enough excitement around them with the number one overall quarterback and the weapons that they added. I think it's realistic. I could convince myself all eight of these teams could be playoff teams very easily. I could see that path right there. And it wouldn't surprise me if one of them is at least nearing and threatening to get all four of their teams in the postseason this year. So it's the average across the board. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily have the best team across there. It's just like you said, nobody bottoms out right now in the two Norths. Save for Chicago does have to deliver on what they've built this year. All the other teams look like they're pretty steady, with Minnesota probably having the lowest ceiling, like you said, but they're not going to bottom out.
No.
And you could take the worst team, and I'll use, I guess, yeah, we'll take the worst team from the divisions, like the worst team from the AFC North, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals, or the team that finished with the worst record last season. You'd likely have that quarterback, or pick that quarterback right now, or that quarterback healthy, than any team in the East.
Yes.
So I do think that the four teams in the Norths have are the best situations going into 2024 than any top to bottom conference anywhere.
Yeah, they're good.
Division.
Three of the six first round quarterbacks from last week's NFL draft will not have their fifth year option picked up. I suppose you could flip that one into three will.
Will.
Either way.
Either way, will or won't.
Is that the real truth?
Caleb, it's the real truth because I mean, how many of these guys have now? We don't have patience for these guys anymore.
2021 was these guys out. First round quarterbacks, and only Trevor Lawrence is left.
Right. So, like, it used to be that you draft a quarterback, you for sure got to the fifth year option, and you wanted to see it through. That's over, man. That's done. Like, we don't have patience for it. Like, could I see Nix, Penix, McCarthy? I mean, who knows? Who knows which one of them is going to hit? We said this about, we'd read that tweet on Monday about yesterday's show about Patrick Mahomes, about how, you know, they grade him a C-, too many question marks. Nobody has a clue if these guys are going to hit or not. But the odds would certainly tell you recently, based on the way the NFL handles the quarterback position now, that it's more likely than not that half of them won't get picked up. I think it's fair. That seems to be the real truth. I'm sure that will be the way that this thing plays out. There will be at least one complete bust in this group.
Yeah, I think it is the real truth that however you want to look at it, from the positive or the negative, but only half of them will have their first round option picked up, to where I think it's reasonable to even ask the question, what's more likely? Four don't get it picked up or four do get it picked up? And I think it's the four don't. That's, like you said, that's the way we've seen it trend right now, that it's not just that, that you missed on a quarterback, but it's the ability for teams now to look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, we did miss. We're done spending money on this, and we're moving on to the next thing. And we've seen that draft over the last half decade at least.
And would you put the over-under on a half or 1.5 in terms of quarterbacks out of this first round 2024 draft class that do versus quarterbacks that don't?
I think the numbers, it's either 1.5 or 2.5. This all changed with Sam Bradford. He was the last guy, because when Sam got drafted, he was the highest paid player in the league. He had like 50 million guaranteed, some crazy number. And then they like put that pay scale on it. And once that happened, it wasn't as detrimental to draft a quarterback and move off him. So that's what started changing the mentality for teams.
Because you knew what you were paying every time you had a pick. Yeah, you don't have to. The Patriots would take Tom Brady back as a player, despite what Gerard Mayo says. Is that the real truth?
I don't think it's... I mean, would take him back? I don't think that... I don't think they would. I think that they have severed. They're done. It's good. And he would never play there anyway. They have no talent around him. Like, there's no possibility for success. He'd be better off in Vegas if he was going to play anywhere. At least he can throw to Devontae Adams. Don't have anybody in New England to throw to. But I do think he's in his mid to late 40s now. Like, I think that is the real truth, that they would.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Not taking back at this point. It wouldn't be public, like public scorn, but it would be like, Tom, we can't. We can't do this anymore. Like, we just drafted this kid. This is not putting us in the best position to succeed.
I just love the idea that if Tom Brady was insistent that he wanted to go back to the Patriots and wanted to play the Gerard Mayo,
Kraft would say no.
He's on the Greg Hill show on WDEI up in Boston. And one of his comments, if Brady comes in here going back to the best player will play. You have to come here and compete. He loves competition. But I doubt he's going to be walking through these doors anytime soon. So it's the second half that, is probably the real truth. But I just, if somehow it happened that he wanted to push his way back in the Patriots, you're right. I think Bob Kraft would be okay with it. And two, I don't think they'd be able to force a Drake May competition on Tom Brady.
No, probably not.
Brady should just do a podcast in like September or October, maybe early October. He's like, I'd love to play for the New England Patriots again. Throw that grenade and see what happens.
He's doing a roast this Saturday. I am so fascinated by his post-playing career choices. Like, he signed that huge deal to do Fox. It doesn't feel like he has any interest in actually doing it.
But he is doing it.
Maybe. He hasn't done it yet. And we have a Netflix roast of him on Saturday.
Hosted by Kevin Hart.
Why are they still making those?
I mean, they're pretty good if you get the comedians to do it, but they got a bunch of sports people doing it.
And that's when it's really bad.
It's cringy.
I can't remember who was
not performers
being roasted, but the situation from the Jersey Shore was on one of them once, and he just bombs the entire time, and it's so awkward. Nobody's laughing.
Yeah, you need like five. You need the five guys to do it that are the right people to do it. Mm-hmm. Five comics to do it. Not great. All right, is a sport that we pay a great deal of attention to still a big four sport in this country? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Certainly starting to heat up on the hardwood and on the ice, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on all of the playoff action that's out there. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games, earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up those rewards with the highest cashback in the industry, up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. You enter that promo code THEFAN100. You get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's the promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for more on that. My whole life, it was Big Four. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL. We're seeing some of these ratings that are coming in from the hockey side of it. And I say all of this acknowledging that it is very different when you are in a market that has the sport. If you are in a market that doesn't have the sport, it's largely ignored. And if you've traveled around the country, I'm sure you're seeing that, that if you don't have the sport in your town, it's ignored. I think, by the way, that is something that goes beyond even NHL. I think that's an MLB thing. I think it's an NBA thing. I think there are very few things that cross over like football does. But these ratings through the first round of the Stanley Cup, and I've enjoyed them. I've watched a lot of the Leafs Bruins series. That's a lot of fun. There's a lot to that one, as we talked about with Jody in Shelley time at 9:48. But when you look at what is happening in terms of who is watching this big picture, the ratings of this, it's nothing. It's so minuscule. The biggest one in the last weekend from the games through Friday through the weekend, was the Rangers and Caps, which is around 760. But think about some of these numbers in perspective. Remember, we did the numbers conversation with Caitlin Clark in the NCAA women's tournament. We did it with the UFL. So UFL, they debuted around 1 million, and then their games were between 800,000, 700,000, high six figures was like their overall viewership. These are 365 for Canucks and Predators, 571 for Jets and Avs, 285 for the Oilers and Kings. That is McDavid and the Kings. Less than 300,000 people watched it. That seems impossible to me, but that is the reality of this situation. Now, they're going head-to-head with the NFL draft, but by comparison, the NBA numbers were out this week, and I saw the game on Saturday night with the Lakers was around 6 million was the overall viewership on that. This to me, though, is a question about hockey. And we know how much and how important the Blue Jackets are and how diehard the fans are here in town. But is there any carryover outside of the market that the team is playing in? And what this stuff would tell me is that no, there isn't. That there is not growth outside of the market. We see this in baseball all the time when we talk about the baseball national ratings, and yet the individual ratings in the market are pretty decent. But nationally, there is no crossover whatsoever. So when you have that question of that big four that I talked about and the one that I grew up with, does hockey still deserve to be, in our country at least, one of those big four? Or has it been superseded on a professional level by MLS? Is there something else that has jumped into that spot? Now, we have no idea how MLS rates because it's Apple Plus or Apple TV. So you're not going to get those numbers in terms of what's happening on the national games on that side. Is there something else? Clearly, you would say that Big Four now would include college football would be number two in the overall ranking of the most important things in this country. But hockey's fall nationally is real. And some of this stuff is staggering. 285 for Oilers Kings on TBS.
And that's
nuts.
I think that's where, like, if you're the NHL, that you should be the most worried is that this is a few years into the Turner partnership and the ESPN partnership and not just being on better channels than Versus and NBC Sports Network, but having the promotional arm. We talk about, especially with ESPN, how valuable the fact that they talk about it on ESPN, where still a ton of people go for their sports information. And with these kind of returns, how long until those networks, one, don't want to shell out the type of numbers they shelled out for your television contract the next time that it comes up. And two, just see that it's not, it doesn't make sense to cover the NHL and its players the way that they do. And I'll leave even football out of it, but the way that they do NBA and even baseball players right now, because I don't think that even the stars of the game are the ones driving to. You mentioned that Oilers Kings one being so low, and their star power in there on the Oilers side,
yeah,
at least. And no, that's not doing it. Whereas the NBA is in a similar problem where we're talking about who's the next crop of stars, but you can already kind of see them coming up through this. And I think come next year, Anthony Edwards will be a guy that people will be excited to see in the playoffs right at the beginning of it. Like what can Minnesota do? And that doesn't seem to be happening for the NHL. And those numbers are proof that they're not going to be able to demand this kind of money out of their TV contracts going forward. At least not growing money.
No way.
Well, those games aren't on any networks that you're going to just stumble into. Like, you got to seek out these.
Turner?
TNT, TBS.
I mean, you know where those are.
Half of the NBA's on TNT. Their ratings are doing okay.
I disagree, Reese. This isn't like when they were on Versus.
I would say this is similar to that, though.
I don't think so.
Because the NBA is also more of a national brand in terms of you've got the Lakers.
Where would you play them, though, if not here?
I don't know.
You're not going to get primetime Fox.
Look, if you do like the cable. You know,
you're not getting any of those. You're not getting NBC. You're not getting Fox.
No.
Yeah, so it's a situation like that the NHL put themselves in. And I think baseball similarly with the they kind of had to do the RSNs, but it's largely that.
If you're going to do hierarchy of channels that you'd want your sports operation on, ESPN would be one by 1,000 miles, and then two would be the Turners. They're two on this from sports. I mean, they have the NCAA tournament. They've had NBA for years. No, it's not a traditional place for the NHL, but it's been there for a while. The big mistake that he made was going against Bettman made this mistake 20 years ago when he got off of ESPN and got into bed with Versus.
That put him in a closet. Yeah, and it was gone.
Then they were on there for well over a decade. They were gone. So you don't have anything propping you up. You just don't.
They also missed a season, too. I mean, that was 15 years ago now, or plus it was like 07, but that's a pretty big deal. And I don't know if they've ever fully recovered from missing an entire season due to a lockout.
You could argue the baseball hasn't ever recovered from the strike of 94 or what happened with the home run chase at the end of the 90s. The 90s brought them back with the home run chase, and then all the HGH stuff happened after that.
Yeah.
And that brought it down. Now, everything other than the football is receding numbers in terms of viewership, because there's a million things for people to watch now where there wasn't when I was a kid, obviously. You just watch the sports that were on, and now there are more options. But this would be
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Troubling for me. I mean, you lost. So you tried for 20 years to force a team to work in Phoenix, one of the fastest growing markets in this country. That didn't work. And now that team has moved. And now you're doing this from a numbers standpoint. Bettman's still in charge. This ain't working, man. And this ain't it.
How are you going to justify charging those numbers that they want to do for expansion teams too? Why would that be a good investment for somebody right now?
I have no idea. I don't know. Because it's going to go back to the gate. Remember we talked about that.
Yeah. You're still getting fans in the arenas.
You are. They're packing them. So in the markets, it's just the financial model is going to change from television revenue. It's going to be back to gate is what it's going to be, because this will course correct from a television revenue side. Little Tuesdays with DeBerry up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fans. Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with DeBerry.
Sponsored by Sears Heating and Cooling. Family owned since 1950.
I had a little Tuesdays with DeBerry. Visit with Uncle Dom here. NFL draft was this past weekend. Is there a guy here locally that you covered kind of all the way through, that you knew him young, saw him in college, and then saw him reach that level in the NFL? I mean, you've been around a long time. Is there anybody that checks kind of all those boxes?
Well, there's a couple guys, but nothing really jumps out. No, not really.
Yeah, you had...
Help me think. I can't think.
Well, from the NBA, like we had Sully. You know, we saw Sully all the way through, where he was a guy who was here locally that kind of went all the way through. It's interesting because when you think about, you think about Le'Veon Bell. Like I remember we would cover him on first and 10, and then he went all the way through, but we didn't have him in college.
No.
You know, and you think about,
I was not old enough to cover Archie in high school, believe it or not, but Archie was a guy. I'm trying to think of guys that were pros here. Schleister a little bit, but he was already out of high school. I was in college when he was in high school. So no, yeah. I can't think of anyone.
That's going to change though, because
now
you think about
to me, it's kind of. But we've had good players come out of here.
Yeah. Adams at Kauffman, the big tackle. Mike, he was a guy we saw all the way through.
Yeah, I covered him. That's one. Probably Stoneburner.
Jake, Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they were not, you know, great pros, but they made it.
Yeah, anything making it's a win. And we've covered so many of the guys from the Ohio State side of things where you see a view of them as a freshman and then, you know, what they turn out all the way through. Today is the final day of the transfer portal. You talk to Coach Day all the time. You've been around the sport a long time. And we have this story yesterday of the NCAA. It looks like they're going to make a settlement in a $4 billion case on name, image, and likeness and perhaps make right on this thing. You've been around the sport a long time. What do you make of the mess that it's in, and what is your view for how to get out of it?
Well, I think the NCAA is not going to get us out of it. And I am very worried. It's not sustainable. None of this is sustainable. We've talked about it. You know, you look at the transfer portal for football right now, only three guys are leaving from Ohio State. Dallin Hayden's probably the biggest name in there. I don't know what the NCAA is going to do, because in my opinion, this is the reason we're in this mess we're in. I think we are heading to the super conference. I think football is going to become its own animal eventually. I think the way out of it, Bo, is that these guys, you cannot do this where every year you pay a Bo Bishop, who's the star quarterback, to come in from Montana. You pay him $1 million or whatever. And then at the end of that year, Bo may go somewhere else. So you got to re-recruit him. And that just doesn't work. And then you have the outside entities raising the money and all this. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to have to become contract employees of the university. I think you're going to have to sign contracts with them. I don't know if that's going to lead to unionization, but it is the professionalism of college football. Mm-hmm. And while that will make some people's heads blow up, you know, that's where they're heading. I mean, Gordon Gee said the day that we become the farm system for the NFL, he's out. Well, they've always been the farm system for the NFL. And, you know, my frustration, and I've voiced this to you before, is that the National Football League has the greatest farm system in the world that they don't have to pay for. Yeah. Those guys are constantly at the Woody Hayes. They're looking at film, watching practice. They allow these colleges to go out and develop and make these kids household names. You know, the number one sport in this country is the NFL. I would argue number two is college football right behind it. Yep. And, you know, you watch what we just witnessed with the NFL draft. I mean, the amount of people that were there. I mean, they don't do that for hockey or baseball or any other sport. And the NFL, what do they pay? Nothing. Zero. They take you develop their best players, and then 3 years later. So there's many avenues they got to go. I think that under President Carter and with Ross Bjork, Ohio State's going to try to lead the way on this. But I don't think it's sustainable with these collectives the way they're doing it right now.
No, I agree. We're a long way from Woody not taking raises, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, and I don't blame the kids. Do you? I mean,
no.
When you have coaches making $10 million, when you have assistants and coordinators making $2 and $3 million, and then you see the amount of money these universities are generating, No. But the thing is, the majority of Division I programs, this is the thing that people don't get. They think everybody's in on the thing. The majority of D1 colleges don't make money. They lose money.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Don, and think about this. You think about the guy, Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA. Like, he's also representing Otterbein and Denison and Ohio Wesleyan. How the hell are you going to properly represent them and Ohio State? They're all NCAA.
You can't.
You can't. So it's going to be a Big Ten SEC thing.
Yeah, and you know, that's where it's heading. But if you look at, like, that's the reason that the MAC schools and all these schools will come to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They want to come to Ohio State to get their $1 million payday. Because they're not, you know, it's Ohio State's very lucky to be where, you know, it is. It's one of the super comp, one of the super teams, one of the super conferences they're in. But you know, the Indianas of the world and whatever, you know, if they didn't have the TV deals and if they weren't in the conference with Ohio State, they would not be making the money they're making. They're, you know,
no.
That's the world we live in.
Let me ask you something. You watched Yellowstone, right? You went all the way through that?
Yeah, I love that show. Well, they're supposedly going to be making the end of it.
Well, he's been supposedly making it for 3 years. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I don't think they've even shot a thing of film yet.
Costner once out or whatever. They got mad at each other. And whatever. I mean, that show was fabulous. So it was outstanding.
What are you watching right now?
I bought a pair of Carhartts, and then your boy Timmy Hall yelled at me for buying Carhartts.
Why?
He said,
why is Timmy coming for the King?
I said they're very popular now.
What are you wearing with those boots you bought in Dallas?
Well, sure. I got two pairs of boots now. I walk around. I act like I'm, the boss.
You are the boss, aren't you?
I'm looking for something to brand.
I can help you there. If you want to come on a little field trip, you got to the Ponderosa.
Could you
can brand it up.
Father out there, he would wrap a rope around my legs and drag me.
Somebody, well, that could very well happen. Yeah, that could. One of these days, you and the bride need to get out there, and I'll give you a little roadmap field trip for you.
Dom's going water skiing on the ground.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Just bouncing?
Yeah.
It'd be good. All right, buddy. What do you got coming up? What are you working on? What do you got coming up this week?
Tomorrow is the Legends Luncheon. I'm going to be with the one and only Jack Nicklaus. That's
there you go.
Up at Ohio State, so I'll be visiting with the Golden Bear. Always enjoy my time with him.
You going to get a handshake?
I will get a handshake, and I will make sure not to ask him what it means to him.
That's
you
right.
You know what that means.
I do know what that means. I will not ask him that.
What does this mean to you, Jack? I will not ask him.
He does not want that. Good talking to you, buddy.
At all. All right, brother. Bye-bye.
A little bit of Tuesdays with DeBerry right here on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one today from The Athletic. This was an article about the Suns' disappointing season, so just a snippet of it. Sources briefed on the matter told The Athletic that Kevin Durant never felt comfortable with his role in Phoenix offense alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal this season. Those sources said Durant had persistent issues with the offense, feeling that he was being relegated to the corner far too often and not having the proper designs to play to his strengths as the offense was built around pick and rolls. CBS Sports added Durant took the most corner threes of his career this season, totaling 68 corner three-point attempts. That may not be a lot for guys whose job it is to sit in the corner and knock down threes, but considering that prior to this year, KD averaged around 23.2 corner threes over his career, that's a significant rise. They go on continuing. But while Durant wasn't happy with being relegated to the corner often, The Athletic also reports that those close to the Suns organization felt KD could have voiced his concerns more often with the coaching staff. Whatever the reason, it's clear that there was some miscommunication going on. How that plays out going forward remains to be seen. Thing or not a thing?
Not a thing, because this happens with him everywhere he goes. He's just miserable. And the crazy thing is this part, this side of him, you never saw this in Oklahoma City, which now seems like a billion years ago. But when he was OKC, like, there was none of this stuff. And he took a turn in Golden State. And, you know, we talk about how LeBron didn't handle being the villain. He didn't like it, so he kind of switched the narrative pretty quickly. Durant kind of leaned into it. And so there's all of these leaks. I mean, there was the stuff on Twitter where he had
the burner accounts. Yeah.
Like, it's just so much. It's just so tedious. And it's crazy because I do think that if I think during my time watching the NBA, I think he's the greatest pure scorer I've ever seen. There many times I think he's basically unstoppable. He's 7 feet tall and he doesn't miss. So, but he's had injuries and there's all this weird stuff. So it's a very strange, a bunch of strange choices for him. But this is very on brand for what he is.
Yeah, it's a Kevin Durant thing. And it's good that, you know, the Suns don't have a first-round pick till the next decade. You know, they can bolster and improve this team, or they can add pieces. Because the three of them all can't stay healthy at the same time. And it could work if you could rely on their health. But the three players that they, you know, the guys they put together for this core, you couldn't. And, yeah, after this whole thing falls apart on them, then you get, what, Devin Booker wants to be a Knick, and Kevin Durant's not thrilled with how he's being used. And so, what's the future for Frank Vogel there? And you have the Matt Ishbia stuff that comes out, like, all at the same time. This has just been kind of Kevin Durant's calling card since leaving Oklahoma City.
That's another thing that you mentioned, because we've talked about the death of the big three and that super team idea in the NBA. Problem is, all these guys that are in their mid-30s or so, none of them are ever healthy. The Clippers have been talking about for 4 years about the groups that they've been able to put together, and they're very rarely on the court all together at the same time. And the Nets never were.
Never. No.
A 40-year-old man was arrested last week for allegedly kicking a bison in the leg while under the influence of alcohol at Yellowstone National Park. Clarence Yoder, a 40-year-old from Idaho, approached a bison on the afternoon of April 21st, and authorities say he was injured by the animal before being arrested. Yoder pleaded not guilty to charges of being under the influence of alcohol to a degree that may endanger oneself, disorderly conduct as to create or maintain a hazardous condition, approaching wildlife, and disturbing wildlife. Each violation can result up to fines of $5,000 and 6 months in jail. Thing or not a thing?
Have you guys ever seen a fully grown bison in person?
How much bigger is it than a cow?
No.
Because I know what a cow looks like.
So like three times the size.
Okay.
Yeah. Two and a half, three times
the size. So cuddly?
Something you would kick? So like,
I would say, I mean, it has to be the largest. I'm going to say this sort of, not even emphatically, but I feel like it has to be the largest mammal in North America by a wide margin. I would say it's bigger than everything on the planet except for like an elephant.
Whales.
I'm thinking like land.
Land creature, probably.
Like they're bigger than a hippo. They're bigger than, fully grown or bigger than, it got to be bigger than a hippo. I've never seen a rhino.
Yeah, a rhino's got to be huge, but I don't know.
Rhinos are huge, but I mean, they're like on that realm. So, okay, so now think about how dense you have to be, or how lubricated in the case of this dude, that you would walk up to one. And people do it all the time there. And they get smoked. And then you kick it. Like, this thing has, and this thing can cruise. Like, bison fly. When they run, they can fly. The notion that you would do that, you deserve whatever comes. And honestly, he's lucky he's not dead. Because this thing could have killed him. Not, they're not predators or anything like that, but they get annoyed. And if they decide to stick their head up your hind parts, you're done, pal. That's the end. So, like, or they could kick you. I mean, they're just stupid. People are idiots.
You know, yeah, think about it. It's just like an X amount of times, however much it would be. I'm not a zoologist. I don't know. But think about how you don't want to stand behind a horse when it gets spooked and kicks. This is an even bigger animal than that. Yes. I just don't understand how you could ever get to that point. Like, what is the goal? Of what, like, did he get dared? Like, what were you trying to accomplish by walking up to it and kicking it? Because I'm even thinking back to, you know, playing around with dogs and stuff. My parents have a 90-pound dog, so about 20 pounds heavier than my dog. But even Kit can knock me over. When I'm playing with a 90-pound dog, I'm like, I can tell that this animal is, like, stronger than me in a lot of ways. and then just to think about, I just don't even know how you get to that. And yet we see these stories a few times a year from out there, and somebody does something, and I just don't know how they get there. But, well,
so,
but I guess
just for perspective, the rhino, so this is the ranking. It would go elephant, rhino, and then the bison, and then giraffe, and then bison slips in there, kind of in that mix.
Well, that would cover your North America. None of those other ones are native here.
That would solve it. No. Huh.
This from Pro Football Talk and the Cincinnati Inquirer. So Kelsey Conway of the Inquirer reports that the Bengals offer to T. Higgins, quote, never approached the $20 million per year range. The offer wasn't close enough to get Higgins' representation to discuss guaranteed money per Conway, so the sides haven't negotiated in more than a year. Higgins is scheduled to make $21.8 million on the one-year fully guaranteed franchise tag. That should be the starting point in negotiations. 18 receivers make more than $20 million a season. That's PFT throwing that in there. Higgins wants something in the range of what the Colts gave receiver Michael Pittman, what the Commanders gave Terry McLaurin, what the 49ers gave Deebo Samuel, according to Conway. Pittman recently signed a three-year $70 million deal with an annual average of $23.3 million. McLaurin makes $23.2 million, and Deebo Samuel $23.85 million a season. Thing or not a thing?
So I actually think it's a positive thing. So he's not trying to, like, he's not trying to reset anything. Like,
he just wants to be in the market.
Of like a manageable... Yeah. This feels like a very manageable number that they might be able to get to. No surprise that the Bengals would play this road with it. We've talked about that many, many times. But if he wants to be in the 23 mark, I feel like that, you know, that's probably doable. And my hunch is if he's healthy this year, maybe they could get something done. I don't know their cap situation front and back the way that I do in Cleveland. But that seems at least doable to me. 3 years, 70? That feels like in the ballpark.
I mean, it's just another conversation about the pie. There's just, right now, not that for T. Higgins. And I think I get where he's coming from, but also at the same time for the team, it's just like, okay, but it makes sense to run it this year and then see what happens. If he can produce at that level, then you give him the extension before he's able to hit free agency. And then you play with the numbers. You make the pie work for you.
Yeah,
do that all over the place. So, like, this being a thing right now, I disagree with. But it can become a thing if he puts up monster numbers and then decides to say to the team, you know, go bleep yourselves. But it doesn't feel like he'll do that if they do right by him sometime in the season. Because he's not reasonable. Also doing, like, the, I'm not going to have the conversation, or we're not going to have the conversation in the year. Like, if he goes out and balls, there's no reason why you couldn't look at the bye week, him getting his money.
And I think T. Higgins
feels reasonable to me.
Yeah, I think he's in the right to say, no, we should at least be in the $20 to $23 million range if we're talking about this. If not, then it's not a serious conversation with me.
Portal closes tonight. So far, pretty quiet on the portal front, but could that change in the next few hours? We'll get to that. Plus, Deion Sanders and the situation at Colorado. Fascinating stuff with that program. We'll get to this final hour. A lot of college football. Bishman friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Final hour here on a Tuesday. We watched episode... This is one with Voodoo, maybe episode 4 or 5 of Friday Night Lights last night.
Voodoo
NBC.
Tatum?
Yeah, Voodoo Tatum. By the way, if you remember that series, the Ray Voodoo Tatum storyline is an interesting one. Displaced, I didn't notice it when I watched it in real time, but in streaming, it's quite disjointed. Displaced family from Katrina, okay? So he's living out of a hotel room. Various high school coaches come up to him, decide where he wants to play. Eric Taylor tells him, if you're going to play for us, you're going to have to earn your playing time. That apparently is the thing that seals the deal. So he's going to be a Dillon Panther because he liked the fact that he had to earn it. At least that's the way the storytelling would lead you to believe. And yet when he gets to Dillon, he's petulant and acts like, I'm got it. I'm going to do it my way. Stands up to the coach, walks out of the office, slams his door, all of this stuff. So then Taylor benches him. Then he sticks around and then he's like, coach, why am I playing defense? And it's like, what is going on here? Like, it's three different personalities in three episodes with this kid that I didn't remember in real time, but it does not add up at all. And I think they did the same thing with that JD kid when he came in. Initially, he was like a really soft-spoken, like nice kid whose dad was the problem. And then he became like Billy Zabka out of the 80s movies, like villain.
That one at least went from his like first season to his second season when he flipped. And you're like, okay, I could maybe see how a kid could get like more arrogant as time went on and like he's the better player and stuff. But you're right, as you explain it, I didn't remember all those details, but I do remember, like, doesn't like Buddy Garrity come out on the practice field to like tell Coach Taylor like, oh, this guy should be playing, and doesn't he like not run the plays that Coach Taylor wants him to
run?
And but then all of a sudden he wants to play defense. And then he just leaves and just goes plays for a different school anyways.
He plays for Arnett Mead, I think is what ends up happening, which who's their rival. But like the thing that doesn't make sense is this kid chooses to play at Dillon because of the
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The fact that Taylor said you have to earn it, and that his behavior is one of entitlement to the nth degree. But that's not why I brought it up. We were watching it, and NBC goes, Dad, what's on Saracen's wrist? And I said, oh, it's a Livestrong bracelet. And he goes, what's that? And then I thought to myself, how the hell do you explain that? How do you explain Livestrong? How do you explain the fact? Because I had my mom, when she was first diagnosed with cancer in 98, like we all got him as rallying cries. And I think most people did. Like our whole family wore Livestrong bracelets. And that was something that entire line with the funding going to the cancer research and all of it. And Lance Armstrong as this boy, he was the symbol of the fight. Right? He was the symbol of beating it and the fight and everything that went with it for good and was a rallying cry. I wore it till it fell off, until it finally wore off. I wore it for years. And she had three separate battles with cancer before finally succumbing in 2011. But, it was a 13-year fight and we wore those most of that time. So there's that part of it that I thought, how the hell am I going to explain this? And then there's the other part of it of trying to explain that at one point cycling was one of the most popular sports in this country.
It wasn't
the Tour de France. It was a cultural phenomenon built around him where Discovery Channel it was in the summer. I can't remember if it was June or May or whenever they do it. Like that's all anybody paid attention to was that. And you were paying attention to how he was doing. And all the while there were these, not all the while, but towards the end, there started to be whispers. But anytime somebody stood up to him, there's a biker, a cyclist named Floyd Landis who did. And then he got like canceled. Like he was gone. And he was right about all of it. And Armstrong fought it until he didn't. And now I look back on all of it and I think like, how do you make sense of like, obviously they still do the Tour de France. I haven't heard anybody talk about it in a decade. I have no clue who's in it, if we're good at it, if anybody in America cares. I have no clue.
Well, they tried to cut down the doping, right? So it doesn't have the same, maybe it doesn't have the, you know, the same dominance from those people. But yeah, I would be, it's not like I've been paying attention either. I think the other interesting part of it too, because obviously there were people who were touched personally or fighting cancer themselves that really connected with Livestrong, but it became so popular and he became such a big celebrity that it turned into a fashion statement as well, that this was their way to, you know, you make shoes for LeBron James. This was their way to monetize him. Now all the money was supposed to be going back to the cancer research. I'm not sure exactly how much money he made off of Livestrong, but it clearly made Lance Armstrong a very wealthy guy. And then everything that went on with him after. And then just if you're having trouble explaining it, just hope that NBC doesn't figure out who Sheryl Crow is, because that becomes even harder to explain on top of everything. And then you can show him Dodgeball and show him how well that aged.
I was going to say, just show him Dodgeball and be like, at one point he was the most popular person in America. Lance was.
I'm not sure that's a stretch.
It's yeah.
Because the tour doesn't get talked about at all anymore. And I'm trying to think, the only times are when they have like wrecks, and that's just because it ends up on like, it ends up as a viral moment. But at one point, Lance Armstrong was the biggest thing in America. And so Livestrong did a lot of good work. And then he was called out, and then they had, it felt like it was years that he was fighting to kind of clear his name, what he said was clearing his name and fighting those battles. And turned out he was just trying to cancel as many people as possible by just grinding them into the ground with legal fights, and then he went away.
Yeah, he did. And didn't he do it on Oprah? Isn't that how it finally...
He went on.
He came clean. He finally came clean because it became just overwhelming. And he was like, yeah, I did. And that he had like the Oprah sit down. He's like, yeah, I did all that was alleged. I did. It was kind of like the Pete Rose thing, like when Pete finally...
That was back in 2013, where he admitted...
That's been over a decade. ago
to Oprah.
Since that's happening.
And he's just disappeared from it, too. He's never tried to make the comeback or anything. He's just gone.
He's done. Like, I assume he still lives in Austin, but, like, he's I haven't heard from him in a long, long time. And it was something that was so... It wasn't like a short window. It was a long window where he was top of mind.
Yeah, and I think it was just because, he was so adamant that he wasn't doping there, and it just spiraled on him.
Like, there's no litigation.
Way. Yeah, there's no way to go back on that and be like, not only did I cheat, but then I lied about it for a number of years until I just couldn't.
Well, and the other thing about the doping part of it is there wasn't any... For it wasn't like it was something that was omnipresent. Like, there weren't accusations all the way through. It was towards the end where there were accusations of it. And then it was like, oh, wow, look at all of this. I mean, think about this. The Livestrong Foundation was the title sponsor of Sporting Kansas City's home stadium. So here are the finances. I just pulled this up while we stumbled into this. In October 2012, revenues were up around $33.8 million in 2012, which I would imagine would be kind of a low. There's a point at one point it's $75 million in 2011, $80 million in 2012 in terms of the high revenue. The foundation has generated more than $500 million worth of funds. Since Armstrong's departure, the foundation income has continued to drop less than 10% of what it was almost a decade earlier.
You can still buy Livestrong stuff?
I don't know. So it looks like income from licensing and royalties also declined dramatically from a high of $7.2 million in 2007 to a low of $13,000 in 2017. And that's 7 years ago at this point. So at one point they were associated with the Komen Foundation was running some of it. But it was just so tainted. And it's funny, like both – not funny. I mean, it's because it was so inspiring – but that whole thing has just been vaporized. I feel like, obviously, the Livestrong thing, Armstrong, and almost like the Tour de France. They've all been vaporized. None of them, like, in his wake, left nothing. It's all gone.
Well, it's sometimes an important lesson that sometimes people can be inspiring and or achieve great things, but it doesn't mean that they're a good person. And we like to attach goodness to the people who achieve the ultimate goals and seem to be, at least at first, seem to be doing it the right way. But I don't think that that's a guarantee. And so, I don't know, does it go back to like the never meet your heroes type mentality of things?
I'm always nervous about that because, some of the times that I have come across people that I idolized, it hasn't gone well. And so I've always told people, like, somebody said, well, Who's your favorite athlete of all time? I would say Magic Johnson. And would you want to interview him? I don't think so. I don't think I do. I don't think I do want to interview him or meet him. I think it might be best to just leave this thing in my youth that I adored, and leave it there.
Do you think you'd get a Magic Johnson tweet if you had a chance to meet him, maybe interviewed him? Bo Bishop gave me a great interview. Yeah. He had 13 questions and I answered all of them.
That would be pretty good. So he's, yeah, he still lives. I think he still did pretty well financially. He's been off the grid. He lives in Aspen and Austin. I'm just looking up just to see kind of what happened.
Oh, so he's doing just fine financially.
I don't remember the last time I heard about him or even saw him.
You can still buy Livestrong bracelets. It looks like they've got a website that still operates. You can get t-shirts and stuff, and they still do raise money to fight cancer. But those things were a fashion accessory for...
Like, for different brands, people tried to sell them. People would wear different ones, too.
I don't remember any. I do remember that, but I do remember. So to your point, like, this is a character on a fictional TV show wearing one.
Right.
Like, so that's how big it got to the point of that it was something where it was almost like, well, you don't have one. And at one point, they were, like, sold out. You couldn't get them. They couldn't manufacture enough of them.
I remember it being wild. Biggest from like 05 to 07. That's the time frame that I remember it being like I was in fifth grade and I remember every kid had to have one and it was hard to get them. Like you said,
we would have predated that by quite a bit. And it would have been early 2000s when we wore it for my mom. Apparently he's started a podcast. Who hasn't? With daily coverage of the Tour de France. Yeah, it's wild. And Greg LeMond, I think, who was an actual American winner of it, who did it without any performance enhancing, was always critical and skeptical of him. And he was proven right. on all of it. Gosh, I had Livestrong Air Maxes, Nike Air Maxes that were Livestrong branded. I think I still have them somewhere, that my mom got me for Christmas one year. Yeah, it's wild. It's just crazy. So anyway, he asked, and I'm like, I said, you know, it's just a bracelet that represents cancer awareness, and I just left it at that because it was like 9:38, and I didn't want to go into a 25-minute explanation of all of it and how confusing all of it was. But there were a lot of layers to it, certainly.
We'll just cut this. We'll give him this segment, and that'll be his introduction to it.
Yeah, he downloads.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
On his phone. So now he has. I'm going to say, just listen at the top of hour three, and then you'll get a full description of everything that was Lance Armstrong. Yeah, you're right. Sheryl Crow got wrapped up into that thing. What a mess. Absolute mess. The portal is closing. It'll close tonight. So far, nothing too huge on the Buckeye side of things. Will it stay that way in the closing hours? We will get to that. Plus, what in the hell is going on at Colorado? That's coming up next as well. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
And hey there, friends, it's your Uncle Bo here. If you're like me and millions of men out there, you find yourself feeling a little bit sluggish, tired, a little off, maybe energy not what it used to be. Maybe you're not sleeping great. I certainly wasn't. If any of those symptoms apply to you, it's possibly even likely that you're suffering from low testosterone. Help is out there with my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. They have the treatments. They'll take care of you. I've been on it for a couple of months now. Just was feeling down. Chasing the kids, wasn't sleeping, didn't have the energy that I wanted. Looking for a real lasting solution. And if you are as well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to tristatemenshealth.com. Take the low T quiz on the website. If the symptoms apply to you, you schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. They're going to do your lab work, have your results in about 30 minutes. I went through the process, could not have been happier with how easy it was, how discreet it was. Licensed medical provider, going to review your results with you, discuss your options, and they're going to make a decision together with the medical team. The cost of the appointment is $99. That includes the consult, the T and PSA test. And if you sign up like I did, your appointment's free. 4 offices, including 2 here in town. All in the area. Call them today, 800-900-9654. Visit tristatemenshealth.com. Portal closing today. We've seen some guys trickling in. Nothing major and no major names jumping into it today so far. 3 Buckeyes have entered the portal. Dallin Hayden, the most notable of those. But I think once Quinshon Judkins gets into the mix, that's very understandable. He actually ends up at Colorado is the way that goes. But the spring portal does end today, for football, and then tomorrow for hoops. If you are, let's do the hoop side of it first. How many people do we have on the roster? What got me thinking about this is if you go to like the websites of college teams and you could click on basketball roster, in many instances, there's either nobody or like 3 or 4 dudes. And that's it. Some of them haven't even updated from last year because they don't even probably know what to do with it. But when you just start to do the numbers count on who's there and who's not across the country, it's pretty startling. So the next 24 hours is going to be nuts on the basketball side because you're going to have entire rosters that have to be filled.
Now, technically, the Buckeyes for it is already listed as the 24-25 men's basketball roster. This is on the official OhioStateBuckeyes.com. They have 12 players, but five of them don't have pictures yet because it's Bradshaw and Michi Johnson, the transfers, and then the recruits in there as well. And I don't know, you know, off the top of my head, which ones for sure are scholarship and which ones are walk-ons, but last time I checked, they still were dealing with possibly 2 or 3 spots left after Akpara's transfer, and they really I don't remember there being much news of them adding anybody. So yeah, you're still talking about full-on roster spots available to them. Now they will be able to pull out of the portal as this time goes on, if as long as those guys are already in the portal before the deadline. But the names that you see today and a little bit, you know, tomorrow, there'll still be an opportunity for those guys. That's going to be the group to pull from, and if you want your full roster, that's where everybody's going to have to pull from. That's it. So, that's where you get them.
So just for perspective, and I'm always curious because this thing happened. It was the big kind of the big story around the basketball tournament was the Calipari move, right? So right now, Arkansas lists one player on their roster.
I talked to the team. There is no team.
There is no team. Kentucky lists 4-6 players on their roster. All of them are transfers. 6 transfers.
They just got a guy from Oklahoma State today.
There you go. So maybe they have 7 now. But the notion that an entire team is gone and then an entire new team is coming in.
Yeah, it's a weird.
That is what has happened.
Because we talk about that with football. We've seen the Deion Sanders model, and a few other schools have maybe approached those numbers. But most people don't want it to be that way, where you're flipping over your entire team. And that, I mean, it doesn't really even look like it's all that possible. There was a lot of excitement around Colorado at the beginning of the year, but it fizzled out because they didn't have the guys on the back end when injuries started to become a factor for them, all sorts of other things with that. In basketball, we talk about how easy it is. Oh, if you can get the right guy in the transfer portal and bring him in, that can completely change your team. And you can also bring in an entirely new team, but you can also lose an entire team. And that goes back to that conversation we've had a lot, where it's hard to care about your team year over year right now in college football, because it feels like a completely different team.
In hoops, you mean?
Yeah, in hoops.
Yeah.
From one year to the next.
Yeah, the idea of being able to land. Yeah, you think about Devin Royal, Columbus kid, right? Stays home, Mr. Basketball, plays as a freshman, going to be a central part, I think, probably what they have next year. But that's so rare to have somebody that isn't a one and done, that comes in, who sticks. The norm is going to be what we're seeing, where you're trying to rebuild rosters year to year. The one who's done it best, from my vantage point, appears to be Kansas. They have been able to kind of thread the needle on developing guys that they recruit at the 3-star level, 4-star level, and getting them to stick around and be franchise cornerstones, amplifying that with 5-star, but they don't go crazy. It's not 4 or 5 5-stars. It's like usually 1. They get one of those guys, and then they hit the portal for a guy like Hunter Dickinson. They landed the Wisconsin guard last week. So that's usually, they seem to be doing it the most correctly. I think that's probably what Deebs is going to try to do here, is land 1 or 2 big guys in recruiting, and then be able to have a couple of program guys like Devin. That's perfect. Devin probably not going to be a pro next year, but maybe he could turn into one by the time he's a junior in terms of an NBA player. And then hit the portal to kind of add to the room. That's probably the best way to do it as the sport is set up at the moment.
You think there's a decent argument to say that, like, the portal changing and all that stuff around it has probably hurt, as far as high-end coaches, the most Tom Izzo? That Michigan State's program has not quite been the same over the last few years, because he had a really good balance of what you're describing with Kansas, but I don't know if they've ever been able, I'd have to look back at all the, you know, the transfers that they have brought in, but they certainly have not been at the level that we expected Michigan State to be at over those years. But they used to be really good at that, of having program guys and then a few every year or so, 1 or 2 guys who were, that's an exclamation point on the roster. And now they've taken a step down even from that. And I don't remember. Is that a Big Ten factor, too? Are more players not transferring into the Big Ten as opposed to these other conferences, too?
They're transferring into Michigan.
Right now, yeah, that's true.
He's got kind of a whole new operation up there. On the Izzo point, Izzo, I think, to me, is probably like, he's probably like Coach K or Saban or one of those guys, just without the success. He's probably done.
Yeah, that it's
like
just
how long he wants to go out on a high note, probably, you know, like you want to manufacture a high note to go out on, because you don't want to go with a team that doesn't make the postseason or something like that. So you want one more run at the tournament, one more run at a Big Ten title, and you're chasing that perfect ending. But like, to what end? You can't tell me Tom Izzo wants any part of this. How could you? If you were even Calipari, like, he wants a part of this? all the money you made, all the success you've had, you still want to be doing this?
And now you've got to go.
It's just a totally different job.
It's not even just, as simple as the recruiting and making sure that you have a team, but it's recruiting your current team each year, recruiting a new team of transfers, and still recruiting at the college level. So from a basketball coach standpoint, it never stops. Every single player is a new recruit at all times.
And it feels like it's your staff becomes so important how it's made up, right? Because you've got to get recruiters. Gosh. You've also got to get basketball developers and coaches. Because you can't be doing, Izzo and guys like him and even Jake, are going to figure out that they've got to be more CEO than this. Just like the football coaches have had to do. Now it's trickling into more of basket. It's becoming college basketball similarly. This from the NBA, they've got 195 players that have filed as early entry candidates for the draft. There's like 58 draft picks total
spots.
A lot of those guys will be, Scotty Middleton was Seton Hall, but like Bronny's part of that too.
Yeah. Where do those guys land? Those guys that are borderline, that are second round or not. I mean, the gross majority of them obviously will not be drafted. So then you got to have a little bit of roster certainty out there for those guys too. Yeah, it's a complicated spot, man. Very, very complicated. One of these stories in college football last season was the rise of Colorado. It has been a very interesting offseason there. And some of the guys.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit. $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Who were there and have left are spilling the beans on what's happening at CU. We will get to that story coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man and T-Bone are idiots. You should listen to them anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio's idiot destination.
Us.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we're brought to you by our great friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Fast, sustainable weight loss without medications. The solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. This story out of the Athletic. Transfer window closes tonight for football. The amount of kids still in it, rosters trying to be sorted out from a football perspective, basketball's even crazier. By the way, I just saw Gary Parrish of CBS drop a preseason top 25 for next season for college basketball, which seems crazy considering all the uncertainty. And he acknowledges as much. Kansas is number one. So that's the way to do it. That is the way. Now they're Kansas, so I get it, but they're doing it the best.
Real quick, while we're still on the portal news, the Buckeyes did have another football player jump in today. It was during the show, offensive lineman Enoch Vamahi. So he's been here for a number of years, so I think we're still not in that significant player range that we were talking about in The Real Truth.
No, I think it's, Hayden was most significant, but you also understand that, quite honestly, he could have been, they could have been pushed into it too. You never know. But Colorado is dealing with a lot at the moment. Cormani McClain, who was a five-star freshman who went there last year, he entered the portal, said he wants to play for, quote, a real program, not one, quote, playing for clicks in 2024. Xavier Smith tells The Athletic he was destroying guys' confidence, talking about Coach Prime and belief in themselves the way he did it. It could have been done with a little more compassion, was his comment on this. At the very first team meeting, he says, I'm bringing luggage and it's Louis. Now, the question is, does he have enough Louis beyond his son and his son's best friend, Travis Hunter? Like, after that, is there enough Louis in this thing? Because one thing I haven't seen in terms of the portal is a bunch of talent that was previously at SEC schools. Hayden would certainly be somebody who is a big-time talent migrating to Boulder, Colorado. He doesn't do it in the high school signing period. He doesn't recruit it. So this is how they're going to have to build their roster. One of the significant guys they lost, including a potential, this was the one, was Dylan Edwards, who was a big running back get last year for them. He scored first four touchdowns in their opener. He bolted out of the portal as well. Now, Deion has minimized all of this. He's like, did we lose starters? No. They had a spring game, kind of a cold, rainy spring game over the weekend out in Boulder. He kind of downplayed all of this stuff. But there is a the clock is ticking situation to this. By the way, he also said that he's not following his kids to the NFL, that there's still work to be done at Colorado. So do you believe him on that? And is this sustainable at all? And my hunch on both of those answers is no. I don't think this is sustainable. I assumed he would recruit. I didn't think he would just push the chips in on recruiting.
Yeah, not that
that's
he would.
What he's done.
Not that he would just like not be the greatest at it, which that didn't seem like it would be the situation. But the reason he's not the greatest at it is because he doesn't put in the effort and like is upfront about that, talking about the idea of, well, if I went to one high school, then the other high school down the road would be jealous that Deion Sanders didn't come to their high school. And it's like, so that's your excuse for not doing what is kind of the most important thing a college football coach does is recruiting. And I guess he wants to bank on the transfer portal. But the idea of even saying that, like, oh, we're not losing that many starters and we're replacing them with dudes, more Louis luggage in the transfer portal. We went 4-8 last year. So, like, how much better is it going to be? And if it stands pat, that wasn't good enough. It was exciting at the beginning of it, but you're not going to get that excitement just for beating a couple out of conference teams this year, because everybody's going to have learned their lesson. You know, prove it to me in your conference regular season this year. Does it get a little bit easier in the Big 12? Maybe, but I still don't think they're that good of a program top to bottom. They just have some star players. And I also think he's kind of ignoring the critiques when he's like, I'm not going to follow my sons to the NFL. And it's like, well, nobody thought that you were going to get an NFL job because your son's like, what do you mean by follow them to the NFL? We were just curious more if you were done with this after that. And I guess he reiterates that he's there with Colorado, but I'm still not sure that I believe him on that.
I thought he'd go in and crush it in front of moms and dads. I thought he
Me
would
too,
do the go on the trail, and he would absolutely crush it by going into homes and taking recruits from a lot of big time schools. And he wants to treat it instead like an NFL. Like there's like with free agency, like talking in the offseason, how he's going into the portal to get a brand new offensive line. And it's ambitious, but like no team that's had success recently, or at least success in this portal era, has done that. It's all been developing high school. It's developing recruits from high school to where they are now. It's acquiring some pieces out of the portal that make a difference here or there. But the teams that have won the national championships have been the guys that have developed. I mean, you can say, you know, with Michigan and the Connor Stallions thing, but that team they developed, that team they built, that team was better than anybody else in the country. Like, yeah, Washington needed a Michael Penix, but everybody else had been developed, like Oregon and Bo Nix. Like, those were pieces that elevated, but it can't just be a one way or the, and it can't be a one way or the other, but it definitely can't be a one way, the portal way.
It's harder to stack the 4 and 5 stars that make up the rosters of the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas of the world when you're trying to get those 4 and 5 stars after the fact that they've established that they are worthy college football players and now they're in the portal. And if they're guys who haven't established that they are, maybe you're still going off potential, or maybe you're just going with a guy who wasn't as good as we thought. And that's, I think, a factor for them right now.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, because you also have to acknowledge that it has, from the Colorado perspective, it has worked. They have stability in the Big 12 conference in large part because of him. They have, for sure, they have stability in terms of enrollment. We did that story a couple months ago in terms of the amount of applications that flooded their campus with people wanting to go to Colorado. And it was a popular place. It was my dream school growing up. So, I mean, it was a popular for that region anyway. So they've won on that side of things. But the question is, how much of this is sustainable, and what does it look like going forward, and what type of team do they put out on the field next year?
And talking,
do they even have 85 scholarship guys, for crying out loud, on this thing?
That's something I've been wondering.
Warren Stapp is still on the Warren Stapp is a grad assistant at Colorado. Can you imagine that?
He's helping them build mansions. Okay, but the other, like, when you're talking about the longevity and how long can they sustain this, well, how long can even he try to do something like this and bring in 35, 45, 50 plus transfers in any given single offseason when there are articles being written in The Athletic of former players who are like, I didn't like it. It wasn't a good time. You know, eventually that stuff is going to catch up to you. And I think that's why you've seen a lot of coaches soften on how they approach the transfer portal, both players coming in and out from it, because you have to you have to at least have an outward like idea for people to take in that you are not apprehensive to portal players, or you're not mad at players who do leave in the portal, because all those things will come back to you and people are going to start asking questions or people are going to start talking about it, and all these kids run in the same circles.
Yeah, I think the biggest turnoff is as players leave, you go, well, they weren't starters anyway. It's like, you don't need to be saying, you don't need to be punching down. Just say you wish them the best. No. Like, the messaging, if he softened the messaging, I think that would be the initial, like, I'm bringing luggage and it's Louis. Okay, you're bombastic. You make a great initial reaction. You be prime, but how long? I mean, the prime act, is that going to wear thin? It probably won't in Colorado because of all the application increase. Like, the more eyes are on the program, the health that they are in going into the Big 12. But how long is that going to have on players, on those camps around the country, on other schools, on other coaches, on other fan bases? Like, does Colorado start to become even more of a villain?
He is. I think most people would assume, just on the surface level, that he's like the quintessential players coach. But he's also, like, incredibly...
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here. And the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year. The playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Disciplined and strong with like criticism. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they don't connect. Like, he's trying to build a players program, but also like he wants to be held accountable publicly. Players, he's very direct with his conversation. So it doesn't mesh, right? Like, it feels like he has your back as long as you're good. And that's a tough way to build a program. And I'm with you, Reese. I assumed he'd recruit like a madman. I mean, if you can get a 5-star kid to go to Jackson State, why aren't you recruiting 3s and 4-stars to play at Colorado and then develop them? That to me feels like a no-brainer, like to get kids to go there. And by the way, the fact that he didn't take advantage of it while his kids were there and while Travis Hunter were there is also stupefying. Like, I would have assumed that you would have built the base layer of the program.
Is the simplest explanation just the truth that he just doesn't feel like doing it?
Maybe.
Possible. Because I don't buy the high school one about people being so enamored that he's there and jealous that he didn't go to a different one.
No. And probably also why, when you go back to him initially taking that job, that it probably would have been better had he taken, if there was an offer in the South, that a Southern job would have made a whole lot more sense for him to be able to do it. But it's going to be fascinating to see how this thing all shakes out this year with year two of him there. They were certainly the story of college football the first month of last season, then they fell off a cliff. Three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what are you on the poll?
Daily fan poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's fan poll asks, what team will LeBron James play for next season? Lakers, Cavs, another team, or he'll play for retired? 36% say he'll play for the Lakers, 25% say another team, 24% say Cavaliers, 12% say he'll play for retired.
I think he should go play with Sullinger over in China. See how there that goes. What can LeBron average per game?
What would bigger question? What would be the numerical number that would be his salary?
100 million? Would they have to double
million?
It? Yeah, where's the limit?
Is it like the Messi thing where like, well, what is the, I don't know. What
here's some of the league.
Yeah, have some of the league. Maybe that would be it. One thing, if he does, I saw this morning, somebody going, if he could return to Cleveland, of course, everybody up there would take him in a second. But it's like, well, we could use a wing. He's not a wing. Okay. He's a point guard. That's what he is. He's a big point guard. He's a ball-dominant point guard who creates a lot and does all the stuff, but the ball's in his hand. He's not a forward. Like, stop it. Stop it with that. Three things. Hit it.
One, two, one, two.
Three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
So we've been, number one for me, with so much going on at nights, I'm not able to walk Buddy Garrity as much as I used to when I was doing the constant walkings. Then he would handle his business mornings and nights. So in the evenings, he's been having to do it on his own a little bit, which has worked out pretty well. But one thing that I did not see coming is how difficult it is to find them in the spring. In the winter, it was easy. You could see the landmines out there. You go pick them up. That was it. No big deal. In the spring, the grass grows at such a rapid rate that I'm out here like a forensic scientist trying to find these things, and they're hard to find. It's brutal. And he doesn't always go in the same spot, which when he goes number one, he does. But number two, it's a variety of places that he'll drop, and it's a pain in the neck. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, usually I still miss one and run it over with the lawnmower, even through the best of my efforts. You can't avoid it. Usually on Wednesdays, I announce our new Chops TV, but I have a different Chops TV announcement for today. J-Lo and I will actually be recording a live podcast at the Grandview Theater and Draft House. It's going to be on Saturday, May 11th. So we'll be there for the 1:30 p.m. showing of The Fall Guy. It's a new movie with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Oh, it's baby. Part of our search for the next great rom-com. So who knows? Maybe this one will be it. Podcast recording will follow the showing of the movies. We'll have some giveaways next week on this show, a giveaway on the podcast. So stay Hold tuned on. To the Chops TV podcast this week, and then we'll get going with it. What, Bo?
What is Fall Guy? No, I'm for all of this, but what is Fall Guy? I loved The Fall Guy as a kid. One of the greatest beginnings of a movie, of a television show ever. Heather Thomas, Google it. So what is the premise of this Fall Guy movie? I know Gosling's in it. Is this a comedy or is this
an
action?
It's like an action rom-com comedy. He is the stuntman, and she is the director of a movie.
Okay.
And things happen. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet. I don't know for sure what happens.
Yeah. Curious what they do with it. That was a beloved series of my youth.
I did not realize it was adapted from a series. I'll have to look into that.
You did it?
No.
Speaking of podcasts, Alabama quarterback Jalen Miller was on Barstool Sports Bussin' with the Boys. And that's hosted by former Michigan offensive lineman Taylor Lewan, who had a very interesting question posed at the quarterback of the team that almost won the Rose Bowl.
Do you think Michigan cheated?
Huh?
Do you think Michigan
cheated? It don't matter. They won. They won. They got it.
They had your calls, huh?
They won. It don't matter. They won.
Don't worry. I'll carry that flag.
They won.
Thing. I'm curious what he answered. Thing or not a thing. I'm curious what he answered if he's not there. All right, number two for me. So, yes, The Fall Guy. I just changed this on the fly. Yes, The Fall Guy was an iconic series in the 80s. It was in line with Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard and Magnum P.I. You get a cool vehicle, a good-looking dude. You go on adventures. That's kind of it. So he was a stuntman. The theme song is unbelievable. The theme song, the series credits, the opening credits, is revolutionary if you were a boy at this time when this was on because of Heather Thomas's introduction into it. And so, this was a big one. Now, the one thing, all the rest of those, it was like a cool car. With Fall Guy, it was a pickup truck. It was like a gold pickup truck was the vehicle. So that was the deal. But Fall Guy was great. Yeah. It was a great series.
I'm going to have to look into that. Perfect stuff to bring up on the podcast.
You need to do that before you see it. You need to have an awareness. Well, I wonder if it would be best if you have an awareness.
I usually do that, like look into things. It's just this podcast coming up in a couple of weeks. I haven't done all my research. Yeah. And I don't want to spoil it, too. That's the tricky thing when searching things on the internet, trying to figure it out. But now I know where to go.
When you were going like, yeah, he's a stuntman, I'm like, yeah, that's in the theme song. I'm the unknown stuntman. That's in it. Yeah.
This one, real quick, Matt Brown.
Lee Majors, Chops. Lee Majors is the lead.
Matt Brown, he writes the Extra Points newsletter, covers all sorts of stuff around college football, and he's always looking into the college football video game. And so there are multiple cover athletes, since EA is releasing multiple versions of the video game. Each cover athlete is a current college football player who plays in a different power conference. There was plenty of internet speculation that the cover athlete could potentially be a coach, Nick Saban, or any number of athletes that played during the years the game was not released, previous Heisman winners, for example, or even fan/mascot. He lists the Oregon Duck. Those were reasonable guesses, but he's been told that the athletes will be current student athletes, people you will see play actual college football this season, and the athletes all play different positions. That means there's only one quarterback, one running back, etc. There you go.
So I know this was based off of the poll. The poll question was, where's LeBron going to play next season? And Brian Windhorst reported that he is going to opt out of his contract with the Lakers. But I don't know if you want to read too much into that, because he does have the player option. They need to restructure him, and they got to do a lot of other things to improve that team. But honestly, they went up against the defending champions, and Nikola Jokic is a different animal that I don't know what team's beating that right now.
No, no. It was very competitive. Five games, but very, very competitive. I'm fascinated to see. This will be number three for me. I am very curious to see what the Cavaliers do tonight in terms of show up and give a damn level, because this could go really bad in a hurry, and the lack of interest up there is pretty stunning when you think about $27 to get in the door.
Last one for me. I don't need a Mufasa origin story in live action. In fact, I don't really need any of the spinoff live action Disney movies. Thinking of like Maleficent, and Cruella was okay, but it's not like it's a movie
Jungle
I'm
Book
going back
bad.
To. Yeah, some of the live action ones of the actual movies have been okay, but I don't know. I don't need the Mufasa one, but it's on Disney Plus, so I'll probably watch it anyways.
I didn't know that Dave & Buster's was still a thing, but pretty soon customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on their arcade games. So you can bet on Hot Shots, you can bet on a game of Skee Ball, or another arcade game if you know where a Dave & Buster's is, which I don't think I could tell you. There's one in Central Ohio.
There's actually not very far from us, right off 270.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still in the old Mill Run?
It is Bootsy's favorite place on the planet outside of Disneyland and Disney World. Is Dave and Buster's. Yeah, that's where he lives. Roth and Ice up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends, we're here on The Fan.
The only radio show Ryan Day listens to when we're holding him hostage, making him listen to a radio show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Coming out of the NFL draft, the Bengals are tied for the fourth best odds to win the Super Bowl at 13-1. To make the playoffs this season, the Bengals are -225, and to miss is +180. The current Bengals season win total is 10.5 wins, and the Bengals have the second best odds to win the AFC North at +170. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan Sports Center.
And I'm Timmy Hall. Good afternoon. Let's start in baseball. The Reds get off to the series with San Diego the right way. 5-2 win. Ellie De La Cruz blasted a 443-foot home run. That was his eighth of the season. Game two is tonight at 9:40. The Guardians, they are back in action tonight, starting a three-game set in Houston at 8:10. To the NBA, two series got closed out last night. The Thunder took down the Pelicans 97-89 for the series sweep. And the Nuggets beat the Lakers 108-106 to take that one in five games. The big talk was the future of LeBron James and head coach Darvin Ham, with James refusing to say whether or not there will be a 22nd season to his storied NBA career. That's what you expect at this point. Tonight, the Cavs back to it on their home court, needing to ignite something. They take on the Magic in Game 5, tied at two games apiece, 8 o'clock. This one's sponsored by the Waterworks. Trust the pros at the Waterworks for all your plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling needs.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cashback on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.